Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're chatting here today with Dr. Chris Blevins. He's the Associate Professor, Equine Field Service Clinician at the K-State Veterinary Health Center. And we chat with these guys once a month, having a different guest each month. And today we're talking about preventing diseases for horses. And we're going to get into a little bit here to parasites. And I know that horses are not immune to having flies or mosquitoes or any other kind of parasites around them, and that can cause all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing going into spring is in the summer, we start thinking about those kind of things. We even had an issue this winter of ticks on horses too. So even, the winter wasn't immune to it too. But yeah, going into spring and summer, you know, how and what we can do. We don't have as many products as we do for dogs and cats, you know, for the flea and tick stuff that we do for horses. However, there are products out there, sure, working with your veterinarian to try to minimize those things. But the other thing is to think about, like, where are ticks? Where are the flies? What do they like? What do they need to kind of go through their life cycle? Manure management for flies is probably the biggest thing. Ticks, it's usually going to be under trees, that kind of shade covered kind of area that they're going to be getting up on the horse with. And then once they're on the horse, there are some products, you know, that we can put on the horse topically. Some of them are kind of a concentrated one that you can put over the top of the pole of the horse down the mane and over the tail that kind of spreads through the oils and try to prevent that for ticks in the horse. But there are some other things that, again, sometimes the Fipronil, which is a flea and tick product that we use on dogs and cats, that we can use on horses too. But again, work with your veterinarian, see what product would work. There are some, obviously, products that are FDA approved to put on the horse for those things. But it isn't like 100%. You know, it's just like us. It'd be nice if you could just prevent every tick and fly from landing on a horse. But that's not necessarily always the case. And just thinking about that. And mosquitoes, too. You know, it's going to be hard to prevent every mosquito from landing on your horse. Fly sprays that they have for horses usually kind of help with that. But also always thinking about airflow. Usually in the summer, when the air gets stagnant and at, you know, dawn and dusk dill, having fans either in your stall barns or wherever the horse is during that time to prevent just the mosquitoes and some of those type of insects from even landing on the horse is also beneficial.
Now, ticks and fleas can be a nuisance here, but what if not treated, what kind of damage can they do to a horse's internal?
Yeah, so we usually don't worry too much about the flea aspect of it in horses, but yeah, ticks for sure. And ticks carry a lot of diseases that can be transmitted to the horse, like Lyme disease. You know, we don't see as much Lyme disease here as they do over in the East Coast, but there are certain ticks that actually carry that disease, and we're starting to see some of those a little bit more here around Kansas area. And so that's one disease that, you know, Lyme disease is something else. And then there's other diseases that can be transmitted in red blood cells and make them anemic and have fevers and other things. And so we do have those that can be transmitted by ticks to horses too, that we keep track of and the state veterinarians would be testing for. But again, they carry very similar diseases that, you know, even we as people are always concerned with of ticks carrying diseases. The same thing for horses, and that we're trying to, you know, limit their exposure based on transmission of diseases that ticks would carry from horse to tick and then to another horse.
And of course, there can be internal parasites as well. You talked a little bit about deworming.
Yeah. So then as far as another parasite is worms, right? So internal parasites, and horses are not immune to those either. And so managing those internal parasites and worms are beneficial. You know, and a lot of, you know, the big thing is that people think about, well, I should deworm my horse every month, or I should deworm my horse every day. And we have to be very careful about doing those things because of resistance. We're starting to have smart worms. And so these worms are becoming resistant to the products that we even have available to deworm horses. So we have to be very careful and almost have a game plan on how we deworm. And that's working with your veterinarian and doing fecals and then strategically deworming based on what you find on your fecals and managing those things. Most of the internal parasites are fecal oral, so they pick them up based on grazing in the pasture. They go through the, you know, intestines, and then the eggs come back out in the feces again. So it's just kind of a, that's the cycle that we're worried about in horses and strongyles. Small strongyles are a big one we worry about. And then younger horses, we worry about ascrids. And then, of course, some have maybe heard about botts, and there's bot flies in the October or November area that they're going to be picking those up based on those little yellow eggs that'll be on the legs of the horse too. So all that can be managed working with your veterinarian. Again, doing fecals for the strongyles and ascrids and some of those other internal parasites can help and minimize resistance to those dewormers too.
What about pasture management? Would that play into this a little bit?
Yeah, pasture management, exactly. that could also help, you know. You know, you can rotate pastures, and some people, you know, they've talked about that for goats and also for cattle by putting a different species, because most of the internal parasites or worms are very species specific. And so by doing that, you can kind of manage the pastures based on that. And then feces, right? So, I mean, some people with minimum amount of horses and very small pastures will go out and pick up the poop, and that also can help in minimizing exposure to disease too. But yeah, there are some things that you sure can do. There's some great information out there. You can sure call us at Kansas State Veterinary Health Center. We can get you some information on that too, and talking to your veterinarian.
All right. As far as you know, other things, what about dental? Is there anything we could do about dental right now?
Yeah, so that's a great thing too. Yeah, and some people don't even think of it as a preventative medicine by doing dental. Well, it is, you know, even for us, but trying to keep the teeth healthy because these horses, you know, we have to remember that they're a grazing species, so they use their teeth 16 to 18 hours of a 24-hour period. Because they're grazing animals, so their teeth are very important. So trying to maintain those is good. And so doing dental exams once a year is beneficial. Get your veterinarian involved. See what kind of things we can do to try to prevent issues, especially as they get older, because then we may have to change the type of feeds that they would get. But getting dental exams and then treatments based on those exams are important at least once a year. Sometimes the veterinarian may even tell you that I need to recheck in 4 to 6 months. So, you know, once a year is actually something that owners don't think about, but it is very beneficial for the horse over the course of its life.
Wow. Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Chris Blevins, Associate Professor, Equine Field Services Service Clinician at K-State Veterinary Health Center. And then, of course, we're coming out of the winter months here, and I know that maybe hoof care is always important as well. You know, the ground's maybe a little harder in the wintertime, and we're getting into the rainy months here. What else should people do to maintain that?
Yeah, you know, the hooves are very important, and they can get abscesses in those hooves just based on minimal maintenance and cracks or defects in the bottom of the foot. So, you know, getting the farrier involved with those and keeping those trimmed up. And whether shoes are needed or not, again, working with your local farrier, talking with your veterinarian, they can have a good teamwork approach to those feet too as it goes. And I think a lot of times people need to remember that a lot of lamenesses or sorenesses of the horse's legs come from the ankles down or the fetlocks down. So the hoof is very important and can play a big part in a lameness or some kind of abnormal gait of the horse. And so maintaining those is very good in preventing things, especially going into the spring, summer when they're going to competing and having those in tip-top shape, I guess, as you'd say, as they go through is very important. So keeping them trimmed up. And whether they need shoes or, you know, metal on the bottom of those feet and keeping them in a correct angle, farrier and veterinarian can sure work together to keep that going.
All right. We've talked about a lot of different tests here that could be done on your horses here in the springtime. What I'm not sure if we touched on too much is the Strangles test. What does that entail?
Yeah. So, you know, we sure have that will happen in barns every once in a while, these Strangles outbreaks. And what is Strangles? And it's just a bacteria. It's strep equi, so we always hear about strep in people. Well, horses also have a strep that we worry about. And it gets kind of concentrated in the lymph nodes around the horse's head, and that's why it it's called strangles because once those lymph nodes get large enough and they get abscessed, it can occlude the airway. So that's one thing that can be very bad of that disease. And so that's something that we always think about, and it's very contagious from horse to horse. And they pick it up just based on, you know, nose secretions, those kind of things. And really the test that we can do on that is a nasal swab, kind of like you do for us for influenza and those things. We can do the same thing for horses. We can also do nasal rinses, but working with a veterinarian, most of the time that is secreted through what we call the guttural pouch, which is the eustachian tube of the horse, and that's where it abscesses and can leak out of, and that's where we'd be concentrating looking at. And at the Kansas State Veterinary Health Center, we scope horses' upper airways. Dr. Delf did a demo of that here at Equifest over the weekend to show owners about those things. But again, it'd be something that we need to be vigilant about. And strangles isn't necessarily on the farm. It's not in the environment. It's a horse that's shedding it. So you have to find that horse that's kind of shedding it to one horse to the other with it. But yeah, there's some tests that we sure can do and submit to our K-State Veterinary Diagnostic Lab for the results of that test.
If anyone has any questions, how can they get a hold of you there?
Yeah, so they can sure give us a call here at the Kansas State Veterinary Health Center, the Large Animal Desk, and that's 785-532-5700. They can go to the website. If you just go Kansas State Veterinary Health Center, just Google search it, and you can find equine section or even large animal or anybody, really, small animal, large animal. We have a lot of specialists, parasitologists, cardiologists. You can ask all kinds of questions to a lot of really smart people over there, and so that's always welcome for anybody that has questions.
All right. A lot of good work always happening at the K-State Veterinary Health Center, and we're lucky to have it in our backyard here. Dr. Blevins, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.